Blog Talk Radio.
Masonic Companion, Masonic Home Companion, as a matter of fact, on the 29th of March, 2015, Anno Lumine. So, well, it's a pleasure to be here. We haven't been together for a couple of weeks. This is the 88th day of the year. I know that's that amounts to quite a bit in the grand scheme of things, but I was away at the Sankey lecture last week, and I'll tell you all about that. You're going to have to tolerate some of my indulgences here. It's the number of days until Christmas. I'm just cooking that up here. Yep. Just, you've got some time there, boys and girls. 269 days, 15 hours, and 56 minutes. 269 days. So, you know, get ready for that festive occasion. We're coming into a very interesting period of in the Christian calendar. I'm going to talk a little bit about that within the Masonic envelope, a little bit about the being part of a secular environment, but being able to express and accommodate different denominations. Times have always changed. It's not that this is a new phenomena. Time doesn't wait for anybody, even though we can't really tell what the heck it is, or most of us. I certainly can't. I've tried to read the history of time, tried a couple of times, and it's like I need somebody else to give me a book to help me decipher what's going on with Professor Hawking's work, simply because of the detail, and simply because I have to refresh my sense of mathematics and even to begin to be able to appreciate the value of what he's saying. On that aside, time doesn't stop, and neither does Freemasonry. We're at a point, I think, an important time in the craft, because we can now we have so many tools that allow us to examine masonry, the concepts. I go to my library and I look at it, and a lot of the material is full chock-a-block of stories about the governance, who did what first, the meetings, and who was at them, and what was accomplished in the motions. And I'm thinking, when I draw a line under all of it, I'm sorry, but I just don't. Most of it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Until somebody with an authority makes a fuss about it and says, "Well, this matters. You know, these guys did this. That it was quite significant." It really doesn't matter. It matters. Here's a little newsflash. It matters when it matters. So if I find that you fellas had a sit-down meeting and you were quite clever and clairvoyant and you've put something together that had a bearing on the future, when am I going to be able to figure that one out in the future? So come back in 50 years, join me in 50 years, no, 75 years, and I'll pat you on the back. In the meantime, I can't tell whether what you're doing has gravitas, whether it's well thought out, whether it's just guesswork, or you're just meandering along, which brings me to the point of today's show. I want to talk to you about, let's see, this is Masonry on the Ragged Edge. Holy mackerel, I love this kind of stuff. I wanted to also add a little bit about, you don't mind if I do that, add just a touch about what do I say it is? A little touch about what's going on to it with our thinking, with the Masonic effort. I'm sorry, but I noticed things. I was overwhelmed by the response. Yes, yours truly was attending a Scottish Rite event, and I was honored. They asked me to do a talk. Apparently, I hit the right harmonics in the room. And it was really quite satisfying to know that what I was trying to do was to put some information together that fellows could take away and perhaps think about later on, be a bit entertaining, challenge some of the status quo thinking gently and in a polite way. And I think from the response, it went over really well. And the topic I was really starting to talk about was around the symbolism. And you can't really do that unless you break open the books and look at what Joseph Campbell was able to contribute to our learning. I'm afraid I won't. The older we get, if we're attentive at all, the more we realize the amount of exciting material there is to learn about. The arts alone, unless you're an uncultured person, the arts alone, music, what you find hanging on the walls of the galleries, sculpture, the work of the playwrights, live theater, it's an enriched environment. The work, how much time do you have? How much time does it take to appreciate these things? Little time. It means saying, yes, I appreciate it, and it's amazing. I appreciate it all, and it's amazing. Do I have chance to get around to the major galleries? I hope. Let me win the lottery, or when Nancy trades up and finds somebody. Find somebody else that's more tolerable than me. Oh my goodness! I'll find somebody that will just say, "Here, get lost. Here's a stick. Go chase it. Here's some tickets and go and explore all of the. Go to the Hermitage. Just spend a week there. Go to the Louvre. Spend a couple of weeks there. You know, just get rid of it." But I'm not holding my breath for that one yet, brethren. Guests, welcome, and thank you for coming back to join the Masonic mayhem of the Masonic Home Companion. So I think I haven't been doing. I've been sort of going through the motion. I'm feeling like the topics, they're not bad lately. But I think I've been going through the motions and feeling like spring is here. Time to take it up a gear or two again. We're going to do some deconstruction of the masonry as it's happening around me being just like you. You're the center of the universe, so am I. Let's see if we overlap a little bit or whether we can at least grasp what we're trying to say and what we're trying to do. But I have to say I want to take the stiffness out of this. I was getting around to this the other day that I'm beginning to realize I like real boys in the Freemasonry. I don't like these accounts of pious little, apple sellers that walk around with a cherubic smile. There's something out of a Stepford community that scared the hell out of me. People that make you, that person that makes you feel like they're sort of lofty and they've got it all together. And if you don't understand the things that they understand and take value, then it's that feeling like you have to catch up. Yeah, it's what the Romans outlawed. They called it hubris. It's like, that self-absorbed pride. Here I am and I have this greatness. Well, I'm at this. It's like this ritual I was at the other day, and this kid had to show that he had a bit of money coming his way. He had this. He must have had 3 pounds of gold hanging on his wrist as a wristwatch. It was I know he liked it, but honestly, expensive and ugly. Oh my! It was sinful, but you know, that could, it's got to be displayed. And he was, as I watched through the day, he was enormously creative in ways to display this piece of crap. So anyway, all of that aside, what's that say about me? I'm petty. Yeah, you know, I have those moments, don't we all? But I, it's like, it's funny because I wasn't thinking so much about the personality there. Yes, God bless him. He's one of God's children. He's fine. And he's a brother. And yes, I've got his back. Don't worry about that. But it's like, really? You got to display it. You got to flaunt it. You know, it's the stuff of immaturity. Okay, it's a phase. And I know he'll outlive it. And I hope he never, well, do I? Do I hope he never sees himself the way other people do? Eventually, that accounting, that reckoning happens to us all. So all of that aside, I think it's time to take the stiffness out so that we can approach these topics. I don't think that we can approach the ideas that flow through the Corporation of Freemasonry, and even in our executive brains, when we've got the steering wheel and the controls gripped so tight, the knuckles are white, and you couldn't peel our hands off that tiller if your life depended on it. But that's, you know, crank down that pressure, make everything so tight, and, oh my goodness, you know, that's controversial there. Don't be saying that. You can't, you know, you'll take the curl out of my permanent wave, and you can't do this. You can't get there. You can't develop insight when you got everything stuffed up your rectum. go for it. I'm pretty sure the Buddha was a little bit, why is he smiling? You know, you ever ask yourself that? Because that's what insight allows you. A comfort. A comfort. A sense beyond responsibility, beyond insight itself. Anyway, I need to talk to you about some important stuff. And part of what's been concerning me was some thoughts that have lingered since the Sankey lecture. Bad marketing for that. The marketing could be better. There was a collision of, three or four different big events, you know, really good, cool things to do. And all of a sudden we get into, oh my goodness, we're competing, you know, we don't have enough bums in the seat. Well, it was a darn good time. There's a couple hundred people showed up, and the lecture was just lightning. Here's Susan Summers. And Summers is a, let me just portray, if you haven't met her, she is a wonderful, very confident, self-confident historian. And she loves to work with the audience. She engages her students and audiences. It's really quite it's quite interesting. So she's talking about this fellow that you probably have heard about. If you've got, you know, dust off your glasses, your bifocals, and go over to your library and look for Thomas Dunkerley. So what's she trying to do? She's been doing some careful research, and she finds out Tommy was a bit of a drifter, right? He was... He came out and said, I'm the legitimate heir to the throne. I'm the son of George III. He made it up. Here's the secret. He made that up. So he walked around acting like he should be given some of the privilege of being the king's heir, legitimate or otherwise. And we're not going to get into Henry VII and the Tudor dynasty and, you know, the War of the Roses, but we could. So she defrocks Dunkerley. And he did all right. One of the interesting thing is he was a bit of a shapeshifter. He was a con artist, you know, in the most politeful way. I mean that in the most politeful way. But he did some really interesting things in masonry. Organizationally, he was an influence. And so here I'm faced with this, oh my goodness, dilemma. Things were a little fluid back in those days. The who tracked you? We didn't have that, CSIS and the NSA listening in on phone calls because we didn't have phones. So we didn't have reporters following celebrities around sticking cameras into every hedgerow to catch them in compromising private moments. And then sensationalizing that, all of that sensational, salubrious kind of spice, I guess you'd say, to sell media. They were of a time when one of the most class conscious societies history has produced. And so he had a bit more privacy, I guess, or a sense of privacy, and he was moving across an ocean. So, you can reinvent yourself, and you've heard me talk about reinventing us and ourselves. But we mean that in not so much a good way, but in a way of framing intellectual, emotional, personal development. We reinvent, especially if you have those moments when you're carrying the baggage of the world on your shoulders and you think, oh, I was born from this gene pool, and so I'm screwed. And I'm not talking about the pompous little arses that walk around stiff-backed as if that's the way to recover some dignity in life, to be that sort of smart-ass and always have more answers than everybody else. No, I don't mean that kind of stuff. So here's what I want to do. I want to take a masonry out on the ragged edge, and I want you to come out here with me. I want you and I to engage in a conversation about Dunkerley, good or bad, thumbs up, thumbs down. Even though he's now all right, I realize that I am talking to members of the Flat Earth Society out there, and I would never tread on your premise that the world is flat and this essence of it being round is just a government plot. Those conspiracy theories exist for a reason, don't you know? You think that these governments are bright enough to pull that kind of stuff off? Look at who we're talking about. Oh, look at who we're talking about. The geniuses getting out their black bags and sitting around a smoke-filled room. I don't know if they have smoke-filled rooms anymore. Coming up with what? So-called clever ideas? Oh, well, that really worked, didn't it? Because there's some honest little slave in the organization that comes along and says, screw this, these people are bad. And so I'm going to just send some records out there to the Manchester Guardian. And lo and behold, what do governments do? Oh, you're a treacherous little piece of work. We got to get rid of you. We don't want that kind of truth. We want our kind of truth to be out there. We're really, what do you mean? You're saying that we don't control the truth? Holy mackerel, what's going on with the world? You've just, there's no Santa Claus either. So he didn't have all of that stuff going for. He didn't have to push a piano up that mountain. So he was creative. Remember, in our history, there was a time when when language was handled very creative and parochially, perhaps you could say that, that even with the spelling, there were approximations, and it was thought that for a period, spelling didn't really matter. It was the context of the thought that would give you the idea of the word, and that was all that was important. Well, there was also a time in our history when history didn't exist. The history is a construct. It's a way of thinking about the past, and it's important. But you think about it, if history as we know it didn't exist, what then? Well, things were fluid. And the way we figured out, and we can confirm history and points of time, is by making cross-references to things that we do know and then tracing it back. Yeah, it's kind of clever. And then we can say, we can approximate the time frame, the conference in Nicaea, so 4th century kind of stuff. Well, now we can, as historians, our historians are the gene pool is pretty deep here for us, and our some incredibly bright young people coming along, and they're enormously intelligent old minds out there. Their age is only in the vernacular. They are cutting edge, leading edge. The talent is out there. The age and gender and color of the skin doesn't matter. We're almost coming into those loops where once upon a time science was fused together because the language of science was all in Latin. Well, to remember having to the painful episodes in those hot classrooms trying to do your conjugation. Well, there was a time when the scientists spoke and wrote in Latin, and that allowed all scientists to share information. So it didn't matter if it was in English or Chinese or Russian. The idea was conveyed in a common language, and we're getting back to that. Ha ha! So, Dunkerley, King George III's illegitimate son, A or N? So, I get back to Dr. Summers. She did this research. Well, I saw her do this talk also in Washington, and with some of the finest Masonic researchers in the world in the audience. Oh, the old boys got up on their back legs and just had at it. It was great sport. Who is this? Is her, casting aspersions on this great person? Well, it's like with a twinkle in her eye, she found something. And not only has she found something about Dunkerley, she's found something about the old boys in the room. We're going to cover his back, even though he wasn't, because we can't handle these opposing ideas in our little brain at the same time. One side of our brain is saying, oh, Dunkerley, he's good. Look what he did everywhere he went. He was wonderful. He set up the order. But the other side of our brain is saying, was he really a fraud artist? Was he really, did he have a fraud going on, a scam going on? How do we reconcile that? He was. But let's say, do we be kind and a little soft-headed and say, he was ambitious. He didn't need a degree. He just made that up. There's another little... We don't want anyone to know that people are making up in their resumes. They're just adding degrees that they don't have. Oh, and we're just finding out on American television that there are, health practitioners that are just ripped when they're seeing patients. It's only in the United States, not here in the driven white, the snow here in Canada. That doesn't happen. It's like, you've seen that Tom Cruise, he's not my favorite, and don't get me started on Scientology, jeez. But, you can't handle it. You want the truth, you can't handle the truth. Do you remember this? What do we find? Do we really want the truth? I don't want the truth all the time. It's too, it's too sore. I want to be able to also build an argument that is more comprehensive and realistic. Anybody that says we're in a state of moral decline, I don't like those big words. I can't follow them. I don't know what the hell they mean. But it's like if you and I would become excited about some new discovery or a way of thinking that was satisfying to our souls, then our television viewing would be a lot different. But the masses, as we have always been, are a salacious little bunch. If we can get out there and watch the witch being burned, well, there's a real crowd pleaser. If we can watch bears being ripped apart by hunting dogs, well, there's a real crowd pleaser. Let's bring the kids. If we can have some public hangings, or even better, beheadings, here, let's have some beheadings, and let's get the Inquisition out there. Well, we don't have them anymore, do we? We've got they've evolved into this other form called the Taliban. All these people are just dragging them out and using it. It's public display, it's carnival, it's grim, but it's part of the history that you and I like to think that is the dirt from our past, the shame from our past. Well, here it's being paraded out in front of us, our past being paraded out in front of us, and what's happening? We're horrified. Yep, we've grown a conscience, a collective conscience. Draw a line. We can't cross that line. Our politicians will like to argue that we can cross that line. Oops, we didn't mean that waterboarding was supposed to be used. We just thought it was a swell idea. So we're condoning torture. The moral stain continues to drip, doesn't it? The accountability is, it's the accountability to the Republic. You, accountability to the people. That's really important. That's the way this whole process works. So Dunkerley is accountable. His history, oh my goodness. Here's a little blurb. If we're thinking we're getting away with stuff, unless it's really mundane stuff, you know, oh, he liked a tipple. Nobody gives a crap. Unless you're a pilot or somebody that's walking around with a gun, or holding in a position of making important decisions about people's lives. Cut that crap out. Oh, gee, I was weak, I had an addiction. Well, how about we hang you upside down for a while until you figure out whether you want to live a straight life or whether you just want to carry on like a lying piece of crap. It's not what they're doing or what they're, you know, okay, you can write yourself prescriptions and then do lines of coke or whatever the hell you're doing. You're lying. You're just lying. You're either lying to yourself or you're lying to us or you're lying to everyone. Well, you figure it out. If you're a lying piece of crap, we can't trust you. Dunkerley, would you trust him? There, I'll put that to you. If he saw him walking down the street, hey, Dale, come on, let's sit down. We're going to have a roll and a bit of beef, and maybe we'll have an ale and we'll have a bit of a talk. Would that be all right, Dale? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Do I know about him? Well, you know, he's not expecting me to genuflect. Bow 15 feet before as I get close to him. I hope that ain't going to happen. But can I just blow that off? Well, how's that any different, gentlemen, than what I do with a professional athlete? Pounds the living tar out of his little wife. Great gorilla of a man. And then I'm supposed to pay it. And to see him and call that entertainment, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I won't. Doesn't matter what the owners say. Doesn't matter what the media pitch is. Damage control. You have to, these days, make up your own mind. What are you going to tolerate? What's tolerable? And when is it beyond? Well, the more we remember that we're heavily influenced by the media, especially if you've traded your brain for a television, especially because as you get older and become more isolated, you can be fed a lot of crap. It plays on us. Not that it's anything wrong with you. It's year by year by year. It's unrelenting. It's that little, it's innuendo all the time. Something's wrong. We need to use force. Something's wrong. We need to exercise more authority. Something's wrong with them. Well, masonry has sort of kicked us in the patootie and said, no. It's not them. It's us. If we're going to prevail, there's no guns big enough. You know, we've had that abhorrence of Nagasaki. I doubt the world will ever get over that. And the people that did that should be held to full accounts. And in history, they will. They will. So, you know, there is that reckoning that is happening around us. And we subscribe to a belief based, faith-based, your faith. What brings us together is the mythology that incorporates the message of every piece throughout time, throughout every culture, the oneness of us all. So we could find that language may, we could always find reasons to separate ourselves, language and culture, type of clothing, even our form of worship, even our translation of somebody else's form of scripture. My goodness, if somebody looked at the King James, it's like, oh, really? Guys living hundreds of years, guys, you know, having how many wives? And you're thinking, really? Well, I have to just pretend that part doesn't exist because, you know, this seems like somebody was having babies with their daughters, but I just have to pretend that part. Boys, it's myth. It's telling a story. God. So cut everybody a little slack. We let the nutbars and zealots of any faith have at it, and they can use the media to make believers out of us. We're the fools that do that. They don't. What they're saying is stupid. And eventually, they think they can go and do all these bizarre things and film it and then run it through the internet. And they're going to get away. It's never going to stop. It's going to have an effect. Well, it's pissing a lot of people off. And we don't want to see it. Yeah, you might have to go to the bathroom, but we don't want to see you peeing on the post in downtown. Once upon a time, we might have. So play the clock back 1,000 years and we'd all be just having a leak together. And if we're back in Rome, we'd just be sitting down having a dump and asking how's the missus, how's the kids, what's going on with government, you know. But that day is come and gone. So if you want to act that way, go back to that period. Oh my goodness, you can't, can you? Well, there you go, idiots. You're trying to deconstruct a culture and stop time. Good luck. I know a lot of beautiful women that want to stop time, so they always look 25, except when a girl is 60 and she's trying to look 25. She looks ridiculous. It's much more interesting when she feels confident enough to be who she is. She has some experience that makes her such a more pleasant companion. Now, Dunkerley, is he getting into your secret club? Aye or nay? The more we produce scholarship, I want to talk about this. I just think we have to do this. The more we produce scholarship, the more we dedicate ourselves as Masons to the pursuit of ethics and principles, the more we reach out to like-minded men. This scholarship, it's gentlemen like you. When you don't flip out and start arguing. I saw a fool yesterday, didn't have the sense to keep his mouth shut. And every time he opened it, more of his brains leaked out on his boots. Oh my goodness, a man was foolish. But what overrode that and where he became was realizing that he was very uncomfortable because he picked up that he was in the company of some very, very hardworking, dedicated Masons. True people. Humble. The kind of people you want to be. That's what Masonry offers. Television. Don't trade in Masonry for the media. Don't. I'm pleading with you. Because the media is selling you. It's selling you. It's selling your soul. It's selling your mind so that you come away with this sense of fear. Irrational fear. Something happens down the street. You want to hear irrationality. Something happens down the street. And what do? The fear mongers come in and they'll sell everybody a security system. But if you just look at the math, just look at the science of it all, just look at the reality, what are the odds of the same thing happening two doors up the street where you live? Just look at the odds. Is it less than the odds of being struck by lightning when you walk outside? Well, all you tinfoil-hatted little Masons out there, when you step out of the door with your new shiny tinfoil hat on, because you know that'll protect you from a lightning strike. Give yourself a little smack in the side of the head if you're walking around feeling like if something happened over there, it could happen here. What in the hell? If that could happen, you know, if you're, you know, you're so, you've got the fear mongers have got the ring in your nose and they're just dragging you around. Isn't it true, a truism then, that great things could happen to you? If great things happened up the street, isn't it then equally plausible that something really cool and clever and meaningful could happen to you? You decide, what the hell are your values about? Oh, well, you know, I have a right to be fearful. And every time I tune in the television, it's all full of, well, it's all full of an aspect of real life. The world that I live in is a world of faith and truth. There are people that lie, but they're a minority. The world that I live in, people are trying to overcome their mistakes. I know the Americans love to use jails. They put more of their citizens in jail than anybody else, more than the Saudi, more than anything in the Middle East, more than the Chinese. Americans lock up their citizens. Oh, we take a bit of stick when we're trying to find ways to keep people out of prisons, especially our native peoples. That just, again, you get one side of your brain working one way and the other side of the brain working the other. And you think, what in the world we do? Better just throw everybody in jail. Yeah? Better we all just carry a handgun. Yeah? See, these are people that are pitching an idea. They're pitching an idea for a reason. What's the motivation? Oh, our best interest? Yeah, like hell. The world of masonry tells us something different. It exposes us to some incredible ideas, and it exposes us to the process of the history and development of ideas. That's where we have a lot going on that we're not using. You're not going to see that on the, we're not going to see a little, you know, that banner at the bottom of the news. Neolithic period during this era of our ancestors learned to farm and domesticate animals while allowing them to give up nomadic existence to build communities and civilizations. Well, you know, there you go. That's prehistory. We're going to see that out with a kind of tripe that, you know, oh, the ancient era. The ancient era is between 3000 and 400 AD. Oh, my goodness. Babylonia, ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, the Etruscans and the Romans. That's what we reference points, the markers of that period. Oh, and by the way, there's been a plane crash. Everything that comes after the invention of writing before the fall of Roman empires, which took centuries, that's the ancient era. So we, you and I, are encouraged to be historians. But the further back we go in history, and if our barometer here is truth, then the search continues. Remember, we may hear people saying things as if they're true, but they don't know that they're not. That happens too. So around the Middle Ages, what are we talking about now? We've been set up that, you know, our religions have to fight against each other. There's always... We're set up as if, in order to function and be a proper culture, we have to have an enemy, something insidious that we have to guard against every day of our lives. What we have to guard against is this weirdness that we're defining who the hell gives us the authority to define the world in that kind of meager term. Well, Masons pull up their aprons, and they say, no. We're influenced by all that stuff, but we're encouraged by the development of intellect, that commonness, that culture of the ego. That's what inspires us. And we're beyond, you know, we've moved beyond the 4th and 5th century. And those, you know... Try to bring it back to that sense of justice. You know, what in the hell are you talking about? we're a little more sophisticated there, boys and girls. No, we haven't eliminated. You know, it's like we try to eliminate polio. And we get somebody say, oh, you know, that's a bloody government conspiracy. That's all they're doing. They're going to, you know, poison all your kids. They won't have polio, but their brains will be taken over. So you don't want to allow them in. You might as well kill all those people that are trying to give vaccine to your kids. And, oh, my, what do we have? An outburst of polio. Geniuses, hey? Well, how much different is that from what we did with the Salem witch hunts? Women using remedies to heal, obviously. We were still so awkwardly superstitious that we were using religion to define reality. So if religion said, you know, that is an intrusion, if the natural course of life is for people to die and you're intruding, then that's witchcraft. You know, these guys are going to be, I don't even know if these idiots that are running around killing everyone, you know, we're offended that they're able to attract other young idiots, you know, other young boys and girls. Well, there's all world I live in, there's a few of them running around. Do we hear that the young men die in greater numbers than young women? And usually it's because of stupidity, you know, isn't it? And does it make it any less egregious? No, we like to strive and think that we can overcome stupidity with common sense and intelligence and reason. Why not apply the same rules when we're looking at the world at large? That's your choice. But don't ever declare that the world is a more dangerous place than it was. It's always as dangerous. You know, is a path up in the Munros more dangerous today than it was 100 years ago? Hell no. You slip in the mist, you fall off your goners. Was it any different falling 100 years ago? There weren't any helicopters to come and rescue. Nope. The rocks at the bottom hurt just as much. We've always had these perils. So what's the big deal? The world is perilous. Well, yeah, so what? Take some precautions. What do you do with an intellectual precaution? Like something, a little worm is getting into my head that says, as I get older, I should be more afraid. Yeah, I'm closer to the Grim Reaper, so every moment counts. It's always been the same. So when you step out of the door with your little tin foil hat on, being careful about lightning strikes, that's about as credible as the mindset of the contemporary media. What's it done to us all? This is really a striking counterpoint to Freemasonry. So much easier to think of Freemasonry as that meeting, that agenda where we met and had motions, and our history of that period is about a motion that set into action a series of events that spread Masonry to other parts of the province and the world. Really? So we take the history of ideas on which it was based. We erase that. We don't want to talk about the Renaissance. No, we don't want to. That's who in the right mind would go back to the 15th and 16th century? Who in the right mind would be talking about, you know, humanism, you know, the most basic renewed value on human knowledge? Who's going to talk? You know, what the hell's wrong with you? You don't have anything else to do? Go out and cut the lawn. Jesus, Dick. You know, why do we care about Martin Luther? 1517, what did he do? Theologian, he challenged authority of the Pope. Who gives a crap about the Protestant Reformation? We all do. This is what they told us. Does the work of Kepler matter? I think. Oh, except, of course, I defer to the Flat Earth Society. What's happened in the past? Does the Enlightenment matter? Yeah, it does. Only, don't take my word for it. Just take a little bit of a look at it. So those are the parts of the discussion. When you're seeing stuff on the screen or on the radio or in the written media, print media. It's not. It's only telling a small part. There's an alarm. There's a car accident, and they call it news. I'm sorry, car accidents happen. People get hurt all the time, always have. It's not exactly news. It's concerning when it's somebody that I care about. So if it's all little children that are being sick or developing polio because some nitwits are killing off the medical teams trying to give them a vaccine, that concerns me. That's news. And then I want, I live in a society where we've asked and organized and allocated other people to do that piece of the work. That's why we have trained armies. And in Canada, a very, very well-trained military, Navy and Army and Air Force to protect our interests. And they do it without the slime of politicians. You know, they've done it for a long time. Hear, hear. They have the same credibility as our Supreme Court, rule of law. These things do matter. Not so much when if there was this little Masonic voice sitting there, a counterpoint, maybe even Masonic TV, so you can look at it. And it's not like Pollyanna. Everything's wonderful. And when you come home, it just smells like warm biscuits in the oven. No. It's like, hey, how's things going? Imbalance. You know, we just passed the equinox, didn't we? Imbalance. Not bad. Well, if you get to say that, that's about you. That's about the Mason in you. Not about, it's like saying, oh, the climate's screwed because today it's raining. Idiots. Idiots. The Irish created that word, didn't they? Idiots. That's not climate, that's weather. What's the weather today? Oh, it's Jesus bloody raining. I think we better get the ark, you know. The climate's gone to crap because it's raining today. What you're seeing there isn't the climate, it's the weather. What's going on today? You determine that by your outlook. Oh, it's raining, let's build the ark. Or, hey, it's raining, put on a hat. Or go for a walk or listen to the rain or the cleansing. It's necessary for the plants to grow. If you walk around and you start to appreciate what the rain does, when some idiot's trying to fill in marshland, you might want to knock on the door and say, hey, idiots, don't do that. Because when there's heavy, heavy rains, that's the sponge of the earth that absorbs and holds the water so that it can run off gradually and there's no floods. No, we don't want to pave that. That's a natural wetland, and it's important for the system of ecology to function. So what does the rain do? What doesn't it do? So you walk out the door with thoughtful and reasonable and curious and full of the Masonic ideas. The idea that ideas themselves have evolved over the years is really important. Each season, year by year, our lands become crowded. You cannot expect time to stretch, and neither do we. Better to avoid any pretense of imposition and to present ourselves as indifferent to a man's life. Better. Filling seats is a different task. We have our place in a man's life when he determines. Showing him dedication is an obligation the better students offer to the new boys. New boys. The better students show him how to study and what to do, how to dress, how to be punctual, how to speak, how to be able to resolve conflict or punch somebody in the nose without getting caught. Thoughtful discussion, encouraging his questions, meeting his needs. These are aspects we at times overlook. Perhaps this accounts for those who drop out before the third degree, but not likely. We initiate a great number in hopes of finding the worthy. It's a pretty big sieve and many fall through the grid. No worries. It was meant to be that way. Perhaps he will return. Best respect his decision and not chastise or chase. Makes us look petty. If we improve our skills, we can begin through our work to express gentle expression and emotion. Leave it to the new boys to punch too hard, too often, and have hope that they will eventually find just the right touch. The oh my God moments, after all. It isn't called a gentle craft for nothing. How do you have the young apprentice who wants to come in and learn how to use the tools? And they say, I have blisters, so it's very hard. Well, what do we say? Shut up. Suck it up. Or do we say, yeah, those blisters will go away in about a week. Your arm will become a little stronger. But what's more important is that sense of design and curve, geometry. Can you copy those kind of results in your work? Can you be dedicated enough to create this surface that we require? And if I can help you to do that, I can show you, and I can give you some comments when I see you doing it, if you want that. And what do we get? We can't assume that everybody comes in able to accept that kind of feedback or criticism, because a lot of people have been given a lot of stick by the time they reach the age of where they were thinking about Freemasonry. Enough. You got a little bit of it. Easter is about, in the Christian faith, is about redemption, isn't it? It's about that sense of life going on. The point of renewal. All of the faiths have that in some way, shape, or form. Not necessarily life after death, but that sense of completeness. I don't think next week we're going to be shooting Easter bunnies off the back 40 here. Again, that's not Easter. That's just somebody trying to make a buck. Everywhere we've lived through time, we've always had marketplaces around us. People coming at carnival days to sell us their goods. And that's what they're doing around us. You and I have to be able to control the noise, because that they have a right to advertise and tell us about their new products. The media isn't there to pass on information. They're there to make a profit. And we're reminded of that even in this last couple of days, when our national government has made some cutbacks in our national television services. It's about profits, about money. So I want you to walk around with I'll look for the tinfoil hats on out in the crowd. Of course, I'll be wearing mine, and we're going to play a little bit of music for you. Thank you so much for joining in the weirdness today here on Masonic Companion. If you are, please offer a shout out or a thought to the fellows that can't get out to lodge anymore. If you know that they have a laptop, give them the coordinates for a Masonic Home Companion, and tell them that they're welcome to join us, that we look forward to having them. In this Masonic realm, there are no grumpy old people. It's like there is a lot of information, a lot of things happening. But we are here to talk about the development of ideas that became Masonry. Because some of us think that is, after all, the heart and soul of a Freemason. For others who think it's absolute, it's governance and the bureaucracy, good luck with that. I'll look forward to seeing. I've got some interesting music going on, some Grieg, Mussorgsky, but stuff that I like. See if you like it. This is by Prokofiev, and playful little music for this time of year. Sunshine should be shining from inside of you, and I look forward to being in Lodge again very soon with each and every one of you. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for supporting the cause. I look forward to seeing you again soon. Bye for now.
One morning, Peter, being the brave kid that he was, went out into the meadow. Peter's friend, the little bird.
"All is quiet,"
chirped the bird happily. The bird was right. It was pretty quiet. A duck came waddling around. She was pretty happy because Peter left the gate open. This meant that she got to go into the woods.
And take a nice swim in the deep pond. Thank you.
argued and argued. The duck swimming in the pond, the little bird hopping along the shore. Suddenly, something caught Peter's attention. He noticed a cat crawling through the grass. Thank you.